Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're here today. Got two fantastic people on with me today. Dr. Sherry Keffer is there and waving if you're looking at the New Life Live YouTube channel. And Dr. Harris is here. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Steve.
It's so good
and Jackie,
to be with
you. You're going to join us on the Emotional Freedom workshop.
Absolutely.
That we're doing, coming right up. And I want to talk about that, and I want to take it from a unique angle. You know, Marcus Brotherton and I, we just wrote this book together, Every Believer's Thought Life. And I've had such great feedback. People see it. It's full of helpful things, strategies on the surface, and then ways to literally change your life by changing that thought life and allow God to change it. But from that, we decided to write another book. And so our next book project is Toxic Tribal Affinity. And what that is knowing that something isn't exactly right, but going along with it because the tribe you want to be associated with, well, you don't want to be an outcast. You like belonging or whatever, and so you go along with it, even though you know, man, that's gone a little too far. And there are people that have been in some churches. I wrote Toxic Faith, and some have been in churches, and you could say they have deep church hurt. And we can help them. They're stuck in the whole realm of emotion because they're stuck with an image of God that isn't true, or a view of how things are in the Christian world that isn't accurate because of one experience in the church. So, Dr. Jackie Mack and Sherry, what can we do about that? I mean, we're going to help them in emotional freedom, but you've seen this. What can we do to help a person in that situation?
One of the things, and you're right, Steve, I've definitely seen it. I see it in my practice. I see it in my church. I see it in the friends of my children. And one of the things that my husband and I try to do is be an available ear, be a safe space. So when people are struggling with whatever the challenge is from church, that they have a place where they can go and they can challenge whatever happened, because sometimes they come out of the space where they don't think that they can go against whatever was said.
Yeah.
And
right.
So we're flexible in that. Like, I know what I believe, and I know who Jesus is in my life, and I'm not fearful that there's something someone's going to talk to me about that's going to damage that. And so we can hear things that we maybe disagree with or don't like that someone is struggling with, and be a safe, non-judgmental presence for them. And a lot of times we've found that people just need to talk through things without argument by somebody else telling them that they're wrong. And that begins the process of them seeking more help. And yeah, so that's how we handle it. We just hold space for them.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes a session or two or seven with someone to help you grieve the loss of what you had expected from that group, your church, whatever, and then you can be free from it. You can literally have emotional freedom. Also, if you find yourself looking and evaluating, wait a second, you know, I do love this group. They do have a point, but they've taken it to an extreme. I was just listening to a young lady who rejected the group that she had joined because they were becoming the exact thing they were supposed to fight. Interesting. Anyway, we'll talk about that or anything else at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Come and join us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn. And as I said, it is 1-800-229-3000. We'll go right to the phones. Sherry, I didn't give you a chance. Any thoughts on toxic tribal affinity, the crummy stuff maybe that you would believe or accept just to stay part of the group, or fear of being a reject from the group?
Yeah, you know, I was appreciating what you said as far as the longing to belong. And I thought, you know, it's belonging, it's wanting to belong, and it's also wanting to blend.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And really not hold on to yourself. And you know who came to my mind, Steve and Jackie, was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like, they were in this culture that was going one way, but what they did was just stand. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to fight and, yeah, you know, get up there and, you know, try to bloviate, and they stood. And I think there's so many of us that are afraid to just stand and hold on to our thoughts in a non-adversarial sort of way. I was sitting with somebody recently, and I think it takes a lot of courage and strength and prayer to listen to a conversation when somebody is living with two realms, split screen. And I was talking to a person, a gentleman who was very integrous at his work, but was not integrous in his marriage.
Yeah.
And it took my listening and standing like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to use his own narrative, in order to bring truth to him about what wasn't working in another sphere of his life. And that can't happen when we're blending. That can't happen, yeah, when we're trying to belong. And so I think it takes really a lot of courage and bravery to be able to enter into those conversations, like you said, Dr. Jackie, without going into a fight and getting polarized.
Mm, so true. And, you know, you didn't just listen. You heard what he said.
Yeah.
And you did something with it that was valuable. So often we can get into a formulaic form of listening, but we're not really hearing deeply. We're so we want to reflect back what they said.
Or so ready with our answer, right? You're,
yeah,
right, Steve. Ready
and
with
then,
that.
Yeah, and when we really hear, yeah, we can step back and maybe help a person see some things they don't see.
And it's hard and to that, hear if you are creating your defense while someone else is talking.
So true. And I've mentioned this a couple times, but I'm really on the track of the two things that keep people so stuck: rationalization and projection. So, well, you know, I'm not that bad, you know, that kind of thing. And, well, you know, if she'd get better, I'd get better. And or this is the reason, you know, it's my mommy's fault, back what she did when I was four. You know, if you're still projecting every problem onto to something or someone, yeah, you've got some work to do. And we can help you do that. And we'll actually not just listen to you when you call us. We are going to hear what you have to say, and we'll give you the best that we have. And right now we're going to hear from Laura, Charlotte, North Carolina. WGFY is the station. And we're really happy that you're with us here and want to know how we could help.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to ask the question, how do I mend my relationship with my adult son, Dan, and to be able to see him again, and my grandchildren? You know, they're banned me from their life right now. I have had issues with my daughter-in-law. She's kind of thrown a lot of dirty bombs, you know, to the direction of her in-laws. And we had a situation where my daughter was asked to come to stay for an internship, and they allowed her to stay in their home. And she was talking on, wasn't allowed to talk on the phone while she was there, and she received, she was talking in her car, and then she received a phone call from me, so she ran out to the patio, and they kicked her out of the house in her pajamas.
That's amazing. That is sad, and it shows how committed they are to themselves, I think probably would be a good way to say that. What's the question for us? How could we help you with what's going on? Because this is not an uncommon phone call of the child cutting off the grandparent. Yeah.
And I worry, you know, I worry that my grandkids are okay.
Right. So what's the specific question for us then?
So how do I mend the relationship with my daughter-in-law and with my son to, you know, be able to see him again and to see my grandkids again?
Yeah. Well, Dr. Sherry, let's start with you and try to help with this difficult and very common troubling situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, thank you for bringing it. It is painful, very, very painful, and I can hear the longing of your heart knowing that your grandkids are okay. But I want to tell you they're not okay. I hate to tell you that, but they're not okay. They're growing up, it sounds like, in a home where there's a lot of control. I mean, to not be able to talk on a phone in a house is just insane. That doesn't even make sense, right?
No, it sure doesn't.
And
well, that was my daughter. She was there for a summer internship.
Right, right. But, you know, I've had people live with me, right? I've had family members live with me. I've had friends live with me for periods of time. And they talk on their phone. They do other things in the house. That they're people, right? But that sounds like control to kick somebody out in her pajamas. I feel like there's more to the story that we don't have. But let me ask you this. Where did the disconnect between you and your son start?
Well, you know, my son did apologize after that incident. And I'm surprised that we got through it. We hadn't talked after that for maybe 6 months.
But where did the disconnect start? I hear that event. When did you stop being close to your son?
Well, the latest thing that happened was we had all went out to dinner for my husband's birthday, and my daughter-in-law was, her eyes were bulging out of her head at a, that they could have bought in a house in Providence Downs for $800,000, and it is now worth $1.5 million, and kind of insinuating that my son was stupid for not buying the house. And, you know, when that
happened. I want to step in 1 second, because we can hear that she feels very unsafe and very controlling and very judgmental. I'm wondering, you know, like sons feel like it's important for their, generally, their moms to have relationships with their kids. That's grandparents. They want to have their grandparents around. And sometimes there's a wife or a husband that has some issue with that, which is broken. It's not, unless the grandparents are unsafe, right? Then that makes sense. But if they're good and loving grandparents, what is it? When did it start? The break? Like, was it when they were dating? Didn't like her? Was it he started having to pick between you and her?
That she had posted, when my son first met her, there was a video posted on her Facebook about, it was vile. It was about, like, hitting kids in the head with a baseball bat. You know, it was kind of something to rap music. And I said, oh, I don't like her. I'm like, no. I'm like this. I told him I don't like her. I don't want you dating her. And he just said, well, I'm going to do what I want. Mm. And he said, that's a joke. And I said, well, that's not funny. I said, that's really not funny. I don't find that funny or entertaining in any way, shape, or form. I've never seen anything like that. That's awful. And if you met her, I mean, you know, here in the South, she's like a Southern belle. Like, she's beautiful. I mean, she works
okay.
for
so,
a bank.
And so instantly, you, in your expressing that, you know, you were the mother telling the son, you're doing something wrong. And sons don't want to hear that when they're adults. And so there's your, I mean, I'm sure he told her exactly what you said.
He did.
And
he did.
And that didn't have to happen, but he did it because, you know, he was telling on his mother, who and that felt extremely controlling. Maybe, anyway, so there's a great reason that there's a huge rift, and I think you're wanting help with, if there is help, how do we undo that? And so one thing that sure. you could do, have you ever talked to her about it?
We did talk about that, you know, that I didn't like that video that she had posted. We did talk about that. I
All
said,
right.
you know, I opened a children's store at the time. I said, I just don't like anything like that. That's vile.
Okay, broken. So here's something that you could say. Here's something you could say, and I'd like to hear from Sherry and Jackie. But you might say, you know what, I want you to know, in the beginning, I made a big mistake. I judged you based on a video. I didn't say, I just don't like the video. I said to my son, I don't like her. And that was wrong, because I know you are so much more than what that video was. You have so many great, wonderful qualities about you. And I just want to ask your forgiveness for seeing one thing and assessing that you were not good, or that I didn't like you based on one thing. Now, Jackie, Sherry, what do you think about that approach? Do you think that's too much, too little, or what's your thought?
I agree with you. I'm wondering, though, how the caller is hearing it, because I was thinking, as mom, you probably thought you were right. You were doing what you're supposed to do, and I wonder how much your judgment of her is creating the rift, because she does things or says things that you disapprove of. As you were telling the story about the dinner, it sounds as though she was saying some things with an attitude that you felt was disrespectful to your son. And so maybe those things happen pretty regularly, and you push back on those things, and that is what's causing the difficulty in the relationship. Is she's a whole person with her own ideas and way of being in the world, and you disapprove of that. Your disapproval may be the thing that's separating you all.
Now, tell us what you're thinking when we say these things.
Yeah, I have most recently had judgment of her. You know, they had my grandson Ethan, and he's a love and a joy, and the caretaking responsibility she has mostly put upon Danny. And I had gotten several phone calls where he was very stressed out of his mind, and when he gets too stressed, he's not a good dad. Like, he's not. And you know, now they've chosen to have a second child, and you know, my concern was that, you know, if you're not going to, you know, participate fully in the caretaking of the baby, then
okay, we got to go to a break. I understand what's happening here. We're going to give you some help after the break. 1-800-229-3000. If you'd like to join us here, we'd love to talk with you. I think we've got some tough things here that we can help Laura with. Not easy. But maybe in hearing them, you could preserve your relationship, at least with your grandkids. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're just finishing up here with Laura, and I've allowed this kind of time because I was just talking to people. How many folks are being cut off from their grandkids? And let me tell you, if you are going to be critical of the parenting, if you're going to be critical of a spouse, you have a very, very high chance of being cut off from the grandkids in this day and age. It's just be other their friends hear about cutting off and stuff, and then they do it. So you really need to find a way not to be critical unless, you know, you have no other avenue and you just finally have to say, this can't stand, it's horrible. But being a kind of a less than perfect dad, and then you say that, it is going to create that separation.
I have a couple of tips.
Go ahead.
First off, I think I would say, Laura, it's going to be being curious. I know this is a far reach. I have some folks that have been traumatized. They've got abuse that's happened early on. And they will watch a movie or watch a video like that of, you know, kids getting hit with a bat baseball. But what is coming up for them is some kind of a relief or odd release because they were abused. Now, they can be very buttoned up people in our society, and it might not make sense to the average person why they're watching that video. But I have learned to just be very curious and try not to judge what they're doing, but maybe wonder, like, what happened to them that would be something they would be drawn to. The second thing to do is I would trust your boy. I mean, your son is going to figure it out. Whether he married somebody who is controlling or judgmental or who's had some abuse or whatever, guess what your son gets to do? He gets to be a person. He gets to figure out what he wants to do with his wife and his family and his kids. And he may come to a conclusion down the road a bit that might be different from yours or actually might be the same as yours. But what people need along the way is support and not judgment. It just pushes people further away from us. Jackie? Yeah.
I agree. I would say take a step back. Your judgment is the thing that's causing the riff. It's painful to have someone continually tell you you're not enough, you're not good enough, and it sounds as though her not enoughness isn't because she's, you know, violent or she's addicted or she, you know, runs off for weeks at a time. She has some maybe moral differences from you, and that is creating judgment. And you may very well believe you know what's best, but you're not in their bodies, and they have to do this life together. And so support them by just being curious, getting to know them, and getting to know them, not who you think they should be.
It's so funny. I went through codependent, 12-step codependent recovery, still involved in codependent recovery. But there's a saying that says, if you spot it, you got it. And when you were saying that, she has control issues. But I wonder, Laura, if your control issues are seeing her control issues, and that is an irritant, right?
Because we typically marry our parents, especially if there's some things that we need to work out. And I say that God brings us together because our marriages are a safe place to do that work, but it's also the place where that shows up. And no one triggers me the way my husband does, and I married my mom, right? And so no one triggers me the way that he does or her. And so you might want to take a look at that, too.
Yeah. And here's just a little tip. What's that?
What was happening was because my son was so overburdened with all the caretaking responsibilities, then I was getting a lot of phone calls for him asking me to you know, come and babysit, come and be, you know, with
perfect. See, that's what you could have. You could have kept that going.
Say yes. I'd love to help.
Yes,
I'd love to help.
I was going to say,
rather
than criticize or make a statement about another child when you're so burdened, the best path for a parent is to say, wow, that's going to be even more stress. Anytime you feel like, I just need a break, I am here for you, I will get there, I will take... That's the way to make it positive and get what you want, access to the grandchildren, unless what you really want is to continue to control the life of your son. But if you want to have access to your grandkids, I would suggest that you stop and think before you say anything and ask yourself, how could I turn it into a positive? And I've given you an example. Rather than criticizing another child coming in because you can't handle this one and all that, you turn it into a positive. I am here. I am available. And I hope that helps. I'll send you Jim Burns' book, Doing Life with Your Adult Child. I recommend you come to our Emotional Freedom Workshop, February the 3rd. I think it would help you see some things and set you free from some things that you just simply don't want going on inside. The Emotional Freedom Workshop, based on the workbook and other material, is just fantastic. In the workbook, procrastination is one of the most valuable sections there, and why we do that. And so many things can happen when we look at the core of procrastination, whether it's perfectionistic standards or fear of rejection or just this thing inside, not wanting anybody to tell me I have to do anything, so I prove that by not doing anything. All right, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and join us for the Emotional Freedom Workshop. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. And going to go to another call. We only had one call this whole time because it's just an important one. And so I'm going to take another call here real quick because Larry Sonnenberg's here. I want to talk to Larry. And so Karen, Washington, D.C., listening on WAVA. How are you today, and how can we help?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I'm calling because I don't know if I'm handling the situation right with my 17-year-old daughter. She's being very, very, always has been, though, disrespectful to me. She doesn't want me to hug her. She don't want me to touch her. She doesn't want to do anything together, be close, but then she tells me that I'm the problem. So I do things by disciplining her, like take her phone away, or I told her the other day she had to get a part-time job because she's just laying in her room on her bed on her phone all the time, but she just talks to me like, you know, disrespectfully, like I'm a dog, and I do everything in the world for her, and I don't understand it. I don't know why she's just so hateful to me.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear from Jackie and Sherry. Very tough situation with a 17-year-old daughter.
Your daughter, Karen, is she in relationship with her father?
Not anymore. We got divorced when she was 4 years old, and she lived with him. She lived with him up until her ninth grade year, and then in the ninth grade, he was physically beating her and abusing her, so then I got custody of her, and she came to live with me.
Is it possible that she's angry with you for letting her be with him? That she maybe needs some therapy to work through that trauma?
That may be. I tried to get custody of her, but I didn't have, I guess, enough. My husband had like a O.J. Simpson legal team, and I had one little attorney, and somehow he made me look like a bad mom.
Yeah, and so I'm not saying that you have to continue apologizing for not being able to get custody. That was a legal situation. However, she still had to go through what she had to go through. And now you want her to be friends and happy and playful with someone. She didn't have you in her life all those years, so you all don't have that type of relationship. I hear you wanting to develop it, and I truly hope you can, because I haven't had a greater experience parenting than hanging out with my adult daughters. So I would say maybe do some counseling. Look for a Christian counselor in your area so that she can be in therapy individually, but also when the time is right that you all could do family therapy together. I think the two of you have a lot of painful things to work through.
Okay, Sherry, you have a thought here.
The same, you know, with Dr. Jackie. I just think the abuse with her dad wired in some negative beliefs that sound like this. Karen, I can't trust anyone. I'm not in control. I'm in danger.
Yeah.
I'm not capable. And so you see how small her world is? She's basically in her room on her phone. She's not thriving. And Jackie's right. She needs treatment to work through, whether it's her anger with you or whether it's her anger towards an abusive dad. Mm-hmm. She's had a bad rap here, right? 4 years old. And there's a Erickson's model of development, stages of development. And at age four, you know, it has to do with finding out whether you're safe in the world with other people and trying to figure out who you are. And I think she's gotten stuck there and then just has struggled all along. So it's critical, not just like something nice that would be helpful, but it's critical that she gets help now and gets some good trauma treatment. I do something called EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, and she would be a perfect candidate for that.
I agree.
EMDR.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And if you'll hold on, we're going to have somebody get in touch with you and talk with you about some resources.
And maybe send her How We Love Our Kids, too, Steve. Would that be a good resource?
Excellent. Excellent resource. Okay. And then I'll send Jim Burns' book about adult children, because that's where you're headed, and there are some healing things that are there. All right. Glad that you called, and hope that that's helpful to you, and really sorry for what's going on. Boy,
so
it
tough.
Is amazing. The problems caused through separation, divorce, all these kinds of things. One person that I'm glad we're not separated from is Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, thanks for patiently being there and here. What's going on, and what do you have for us today?
Well, my head's spinning because there's so many things I want to say, but I see a lot of radio calls, so I want to do this quickly.
Okay.
You mentioned the workshop already, Saturday, the Emotional Freedom Workshop. And I'll just tag on to that with a one-sentence testimony that I found. This woman wrote, "I came wounded, shameful, hurting. I'm leaving empowered, loved, hopeful, secure, and ready with a plan to walk through my anger and come out stronger on the other side."
It's big.
Pretty powerful.
Big.
Huge.
Yeah. From one
so
day.
Huge.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. One day, one sentence summarized
awesome.
It pretty well.
Yeah.
So, folks, I can't encourage you enough. Consider it. Man, woman, whatever your issue is, this is a catch-all for us. If you're struggling with whatever emotionally, if you're just stuck somewhere, don't know what it is, come in to this workshop. And, folks, this is why we seek your support. People's lives change. God moves in this workshop. We've got three great speakers with Jackie, Chris, and Steve. And we got groups that will make a difference, so please come to this. And then lastly, we had a great devotion this morning from a staff member. I'll just touch on it real lightly.
Really great devotion.
This was Whitney, and she was sharing and asking us, do you want to become a eulogy builder or a resume builder?
Right.
And she shared some eulogy things from her own mom's eulogy. Yeah, but it was powerful, and I wanted you to think about that in terms of your giving and your generosity. Your generosity probably isn't going to do a lot for your resume, but it can really be a lot for your eulogy. And I wish I had about 10 more minutes to talk about that because it's powerful.
Yeah, it really is. It's talking about whenever a person's eulogy is read or given, it's the little things that matter. And the little things that impacted others' lives. And just a little more of a gift could build your eulogy, because you're part of us helping so many people.
Or joining Club New Life. That's not, for most people, that's not a real big investment.
No, but it isn't. And it's $35 a month.
Yeah.
And we'll, if you give us a gift of any amount, we'll send you Every Believer's Thought Life. What do we send as a way of saying thank you for Club New Life, Larry?
Well, right now we're giving the Bibles. We're talking about doing some devotionals. If you'd rather have a devotional than these Bibles, let us know. We've got several. We can send you a stack.
Yeah. We're pretty generous in how to say thank you. Sometimes we just let you tell us how to say thank you. And so, but please help us if you possibly can. And thank you, Larry, for that amazing testimony about what has happened and what could happen for you on February the 3rd. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. Let's go to Denise, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Watches on the YouTube channel. And if, by the way, if you can help us, I didn't give that number. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Hi, Denise. How are you today? And how could we help you?
Hello. I am doing well. Thank you.
Good.
I just have a quick question. I've been divorced about 3 years, and I have two of my children getting married in May and one in June,
okay.
And I haven't seen my ex-husband in over 2 years. He did have an affair. We tried to work on our marriage, and the marriage ended, and I am trying to figure out how to go to these weddings without feeling unsafe. I don't want to cause a lot of drama for my kids, and I want to be able to be present at the same time. And
sure.
Wondering if you guys have any thoughts on how I can do that.
We do, and we'll give you our best right after this. You are listening to New Life Live. We'll be here for another hour and 20 minutes. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. Here's a verse that points to emotional freedom or the need. Proverbs 14:29, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. How about that? That's who I want to be.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Trying to avoid wedding drama. Oh my goodness, how sad when we become the attention or something happens between us and somebody else and it takes the focus off the bride. Sherry, what are you thinking? Let's go to you first.
I kind of want to hear from Jackie first, and then I'm going to jump in right after you.
Okay. Well, you go ahead and direct things then, and we'll go to
Jackie
first. And that'll be fine.
It'll make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I hear that you are fearful of, like, taking the light away from your daughter. And so, one, you go in with the mindset that you're just not going to do that. You're not going to let anything or anyone ruin this day for your daughter or your son, for your child, for their wedding. They are the focal point. But also, I hear pain still in your heart from the divorce. You're wanting safety. My assumption is that you mean emotional safety. If you haven't spoken with him or seen him in 2 years, I'm not sure. I don't understand necessarily what the unsafe expectation is. And I am also curious if whether or not you've done some trauma work over this betrayal to help you be able to move through it so that when you're in his presence, it doesn't trigger everything and you don't have any tools to deal with those triggers.
What is the safety concern?
Safety. It's I think my fear is that I will be triggered and that I will go to my own unsafe place as far as feeling less than or...
You're going to feel your feelings. There's not a way for you to go into this necessarily without feeling your feelings. They're not inappropriate. You got hurt. But having some tools to be able to cope with those negative feelings or those scary or hard feelings, I think, is key.
Yeah.
I remember having to go to the first event. It wasn't a wedding, Denise. It was a funeral with Connor. And I remember tremendous anxiety about who was going to be there because it was family. All the people I knew, ton of people because his brother passed away. And it almost overwhelmed me to the point where I wasn't going to go, which wouldn't work in this case. But I remember feeling like I need to move past this fear. I mean, I went and got my roots done. I did some stuff. I went and got a dress that I felt confident in. I mean, I did some very practical things. I called my girlfriend. She almost came with me. You know, but I remember walking to that room, and I'm saying this, Denise, because I know you. So I know you, Denise. It was so funny. It was your voice. I was sitting here going, I know that voice. Who is that voice? That's Denise. So let me say this, because I do know you. I love you, and you are an amazing woman. And there are times when our heart trumps our mind. But one thing I know about you, Denise, is you are very clear-headed. And in situations where there's crisis or things to be done, you step up and you put one foot in front of the other. And I want you to use that resource. Remember when Trina was talking, I was with her with a gal named Trina, about the hula hoop that's around us for boundaries. I want you to imagine that hula hoop that's around you for boundaries, and everything inside of that hula hoop, your lovely mind, your body, your personality, your laughter, your love for your kids, your longing to celebrate them, how hard you've worked to launch your kids into this place. I want you to remember all that, because he can't get into that unless you leave a crack in your hula hoop. So you tighten that hula hoop down, and that's your boundaries around what you can own. And it's okay if you get scared or you cry or you feel triggered. Then just do what I did. Go to the bathroom, you know, fluff your hair, sit in there for a few minutes, catch your breath, put on some more lipstick, and then go back out. I know you can do this, girl. I am so for you.
You know,
do you think it would be...
Go ahead.
Sorry. Do you think it would be a good idea to try and meet with him ahead of time, just to maybe get kind of past some of that stuff first? I just feel like because I haven't seen or talked in over 2 years, I just wonder if that would be a wise thing to do, or if I should just...
Well, maybe a phone call. Maybe a phone call to say, hey, and
Steve said that during the break. He's like, I think it'd be great if she were to talk to him and just get those, you know. So, Steve, you were already thinking about that.
But put your adult on when you do. Hey, Bob.
Right.
We got the wedding coming up, and, you know, we haven't spoken in a couple of years, so I didn't want that first contact to be at the wedding. So I'm just calling to see how you're doing and let you know that I'm certainly We'll be happy to see you and your wife, but I just wanted to make sure it was easy, and that's why I'm connecting with you. And I wouldn't have a whimper or any kind of a feeling of inadequacy or regret or anything like that. That can be dealt with later. And I wanted, we're out of time, but I want to take you down another road. On safety, sometimes it helps me to look at the worst case. If in the worst case he hits me, they're going to call 911 if they need to. An ambulance is going to take me to the hospital. I'm going to be okay. If he yells at me, everybody's going to think what a sick human being he is, not, oh, what a terrible person I am. And there somebody is going to take him down. I mean, these other men are going to know that's the wrong thing. If he snubs me, anything. So just go through all the things you possibly might be afraid of. And if it happens, you're going to be okay. You'll get through it. Even in the worst case, you'll get through it. But I do think diffusing a little bit and being an adult on the phone is good practice for being the adult in his presence. And be sure that your daughter knows it's going to be okay. Don't worry about us. We just talked on the phone, had a great conversation. It's all about you. And we are out of time. Now, I'm going to send you this Every Believer's Thought Life because it will help you to have some thoughts that are going to help you. For instance, started my day with God not be me, then God with me, others over me. So, you know, there are just some things like that that we can do to get ourselves situated with a godly mind. All right, really glad you called. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the next program. Hey, emotional freedom is this weekend, not February 3rd. I was looking at a different workshop. So sign up now and come and experience the freedom that, well, the testimony shared and that so many people have experienced with this one-of-a-kind emotional freedom workbook. I think you're really going to like the fact that you came. You won't regret it. And you don't just hear people speak. You're in a little group with other folks and a Christian counselor to help you work out any issue that is specific just to you. Gift of any amount. And we're going to send you this new book, Every Believer's Thought Life. It's a good one. I mean, you know, we won Book of the Year the last time we did a book together. This one is full of helpful things. And as many interviewers have commented, it is saturated with scripture and biblical principles I think will help you. Every Believer's Thought Life, our gift to you when you give us a gift of any amount. Also, Club New Life, $35, and you can kind of tell us what you want for us to thank you for joining up for that. My thanks to Dr. Sherry Keffer and to Dr. Harris and all of that. She brings here her insight, her energy, and Dr. Sherry Keffer's been doing that for years, and we're grateful for that. We're grateful for you. That you come, maybe you could tell somebody else what you do around this time of day. It would be fabulous. And if you can't get us regularly, you know, the app, you can get us anytime. At newlife.com, you can listen anytime. So many ways that you can hear us. Have a great day today. We're going to see you right here next time on New Life Live. God bless you. See you then.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.